What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
The light bulbs are going off in my head.
This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transform. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. And we're working through the Put Off, Put On series, which is a fundamental understanding of sanctification. When I started this series, I said, just think, you as the listener, I would say, hey, you need to change biblically. And you would say, yeah, totally, Dr. Gifford, but how do I do that? Many of us know that we can change. We know that we should change, but we don't always have the practical how-tos, the next steps. That's what I've been focusing on in this series. How does the Bible teach us to change? Step one, put off. Put off who you were. Put off the old man. You have died. Your old nature does not have power over you. So you do repent of, in totality, the things that correspond to your old nature. And that is not the ending point, it's the starting point. Some of us have had hypervigilance our entire life of the things we shouldn't be doing. Maybe you came from a conservative church like I did, where many of the sermons were about not watching movies, not playing cards, not being worldly. Well, that is true. You should not do certain things. You should put them off and repent of them. But that's not enough. That's not all that biblical change entails. You're called to put on. And we've used Ephesians 4 really as the backbone for understanding that. So in verse 22, if you've been working on this for memorization, and I encourage you to do so, that you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put that off. It doesn't have power over you. Put it off. But then in verse 24, put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off, put on, put off, put on. Colossians 3, put off. In verse 12, put on. This is how the Bible teaches change, and this has to be baked into your own understanding. When you're struggling with something, when you know this is an area of sin and sanctification in your life, put that off. And then what do? Seek God-honoring actions to put on. But today is the last step. Part 3. Why did I order it this way? This is going to come directly from Ephesians 4:23. Why did I order it this way? This is not exactly the way the text reads. So verse 22, I read a second ago, to put off your old self. What does verse 23 say? And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And then put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Step 3, be renewed. Be renewed. Put off, put on, be renewed. Now, in biblical counseling land, this is just a historical nugget. Dr. J. Adams would use this 3-step process as well. And he would say, put off, be renewed, put on. And I'll do my best to share with you why I've put it toward the end, but I think the 3 steps are there nevertheless. So in Ephesians 4:23, what do you see? That you're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what does that mean practically? That you're renewed, you're restored back to a mint condition. You're made young again. Ooh, fountain of youth. We found it here. Renewal is to be restored back to what you were originally intended to be. So think of the image of God that is in you, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that as an image bearer, that image is distorted when sin entered into the world. And as image bearers, we are restored back into the image of God at the moment of our salvation. It doesn't mean that happened perfectly, but that process started. So to be Christ-like or to be conforming to the image of God, those are the same thing because Christ is the perfect image of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4. So what does all that mean practically? What are you being renewed back to? The way you were created, the way you're supposed to be, which is the perfect reflection of the image of God. Humans are said to be in the image of God, but not angels or plant life or animals. Something distinctive to us is that we're in the image of God. So what are you renewed back into? What are you made young again? What are you restored back to in a mint condition? The image of God. But I find it important to note, last part of verse 23, where is this happening? In the spirit of your minds. I talk about the mind all the time on this show, and I've talked about it a lot in recent articles and writing. The mind is that immaterial center of your thinking and cognition and choices. It's not the brain. You're not being renewed in your brain. In fact, the organ of your brain can be deteriorating, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16, and yet your inner person is being renewed day by day. So your mind is being renewed. This is your attitude, your disposition, the way that you view life. That is being renewed as you put off and put on. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, keep a finger here and let's go over to Romans 12. You got to have Romans 12 scarred into your memory. This is one of those verses that if someone came to me and woke me up in the middle of the night, "Hey, Dr. Gifford, wake up." I'm like, "Huh? How'd you get in my house?" And they say, "What's Romans 12 too?" I say, "Oh, easy. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This is what we must be so familiar with that it's almost second nature, that you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed. There is a metamorphosis taking place, a total change. And where is that happening? By the renewal of your mind. Paul echoing the same words of Ephesians. So Romans and Ephesians saying the same thing here, renewal, transformation. This renewal and transformation is happening where? In your mind, your immaterial mind. Don't be confused by the culture. Don't interpret this as the brain. Where are your thoughts coming from? They're coming from your immaterial mind. So when we see Paul in Philippians 2 appeal to the Philippians for unity. He tells them, do nothing from selfish ambition. Don't put yourself first. Count others as more significant than yourself and put their interests above your own. This is the way to unity in the local church, that you would prefer other people, you would defer to other people in your local church. And you're doing that because of Philippians 2:5. That's what Christ did. He had that mind. He had that attitude. The best way of translating Philippians 2:5 is not necessarily that you have the mind of Christ, but you think like Christ thinks. You have the thoughts of Christ. To think in this way is the idea. Think in this way, which is the same way that Christ thought. So you think like Jesus when your mind is renewed. Have you considered that? You think like Jesus thinks when your mind is renewed. And I'm not calling you omniscient, and Jesus was omniscient. He knew the hearts of men we see in the Gospels. I'm not saying like John 21, you know, Peter confesses that Jesus knows all things. I'm not saying that's true of you, but what I'm saying is that you actually start to think like Jesus when your mind is renewed. So why rear load this? Why not make this step two? Because Ephesians 4:23 is actually in the passive voice. So this is what's really being said by Paul. To be renewed is to let yourself be renewed. That God is the one that's actually doing that work of renewal in your life. So practically speaking, Greg Gifford does not renew his own mind. I can contribute to the renewal of my mind, but for it to be restored back to a mint condition, for it to be made young again, that is not mine to do. That is actually God the Father through the work of the Spirit. So sanctification is that process where our immaterial minds are being set apart more and more and more to be like Jesus's mind, his immaterial mind. So the result is that God renews our minds so that we think more and more like Jesus. So when your thoughts are restored back to what they were intended to be, what's the result? Your thoughts, i.e. your mind, your attitude and disposition looks like Jesus's. You think that way. So it makes perfect sense why Paul in all of these passages, to include Philippians, would say that your mind that needs renewal is to be conformed to the image of Christ in your thinking. So why does this right understanding of being renewed really matter? Because your actions are an overflow of your inner person. What's happening in your thoughts actually drives your actions. And I'm not here to say that the immaterial heart and the immaterial mind are uniquely distinct. I think they're all part of the inner person. And to just say the inner person or the immaterial heart and mind, that's the reality of where we are. But What I am here to say is that your actions are an overflow of what's happening inside of you. Easy example, think about it long enough and you will act on it, whatever that thing is. If it's covetousness and you're shopping for new cars, think about that long enough. And next thing you know, you're cruising online, looking at dealerships. The next thing you know, you're going by a lot. Next thing you know, you're on Facebook Marketplace, reaching out to people. Think about it long enough and it will overflow into your actions. So here is the emphasis. If you have a renewed mind, it will change everything. If your mind is transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewal of your mind, it will change everything about your actions. Your actions will be different because your inner person is different. That is something that is paramount of importance for you to grasp. Work on the renewal of your mind that God does, and then you'll see that the put-ons begin to flow from a place of authenticity or a place of genuine desire. That's what you want, is to be grateful, or that's what you want is to be trusting, not something you have to force yourself to. So let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll pick up with Ephesians 4 and different examples you see here. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, and as we take this quick break, I hope you're finding the insight from Dr. Gifford on biblical change as helpful as I am. And before we jump back in, let me share a couple of things with you. First, if you're looking to dive deeper into the topics that we discuss here on Transformed, then I highly recommend you checking out the Transformed store at transformed.org. One of the resources that I'd like to point out is The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. This book is an incredible resource for understanding exactly who God is and how His character impacts our daily lives. Pink doesn't just go about giving you head knowledge. He helps you develop a personal relationship with God by exploring His sovereignty, His holiness, His grace, and His mercy. And you can find it right now at the Transformed store at transformed.org. Now, I want to take just a quick second to talk about something that's pretty close to our hearts here at Transformed. You know, we're passionate about producing biblically sound resources like Transformed, but we cannot do it without the support of people just like you. And so that's why I want to ask if you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not asking you to consider this unless you're already faithfully giving to your local church and not in any type of debt. We definitely want you to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, but it's also very important to us that you steward God's money faithfully. So take some time to pray about what joining us as a gospel partner may look like in your life. And you can get all of the details about how to do just that at transformed.org. Now, lastly, for those of you who are interested in biblical counseling, well, my hat's off to you, because as I tell you frequently here, we are in desperate need of biblical counselors and biblical counseling ministries. Our churches are starving for them, and I have an excellent resource that I want to recommend to you if you have been thinking about taking that path. It's called Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison. This book is fundamental for understanding how Scripture speaks into our daily struggles. Pallison shows how to look at issues like worry and victimization and even love languages through a biblical lens. It's a fantastic starting point if you're considering becoming a biblical counselor, or maybe you just want to be better equipped to help others. You can find that resource as well on our website at transformed.org. Now, let's jump back into the second half of today's episode with Dr. Gifford. He's going to continue to unpack the biblical process of putting off, being renewed, and putting on. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back, and thank you, Jimmy. If you haven't checked out the Transform store, you got to do that. We have trusted resources that we continue to work on. And if you're joining us in encouragement, or kind of a fun way to memorize, I've been encouraging you guys towards Ephesians 4:22. If you've memorized Ephesians 4:22, work on Ephesians 4:23, at least in principle, so that these principles of putting off, being renewed, putting on are associated with the scripture, which is where we've been teaching from. So memorize Ephesians 4:23, add that to your devotionals, and I would even love to hear how the memorization of these passages have been beneficial to you. So write in, let me know, hey, Dr. Gifford, this is how Ephesians 4:22 came up recently, or Ephesians 4:23 really blessed me recently. I'd love to hear that and get to share that with other listeners. So if you have your Bible, open it back up. Ephesians 4:25. I want to show you a couple of things here. We left off at the break by saying that if your mind is renewed, then your actions will be renewed. So I want to be clear that you and I have a responsibility to allow ourselves to be renewed, or in the nature of sanctification, it's said to be synergistic, because you work out your salvation and God works in you to bring about the change. So biblical counselors have taught it this way, and I agree with the way that it's been taught, that you want to facilitate the renewal of your mind by meditating on the truths of Scripture. And you're going to see a couple of examples of these in Ephesians 4. So verse 25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor." That's an easy example of the put off and the put on. What are you putting off? Falsehood. Like I said last episode, what are you putting on? Speaking the truth with your neighbor. But look at the last part, the explanation. "For we are members one of another." The broader context of Ephesians 4 is about the body of Christ and the one anothering in the body of Christ. So what is Paul doing here? He's saying that you speak the truth with other brothers and sisters in Christ, because that is how the body of Christ is built up. You're members of one another. In verse 15, he reminds us that you speak the truth in love, and we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So what are you renewing your mind with as you're putting on speaking the truth? Well, you're renewing your mind with something like this. "This is my brother or sister in Christ, and we're members of one another in the body of Christ." Boom. If I lie to them, I'm hurting the body of Christ. This doesn't mean I'm confronting everybody on the way into church. "You're ugly. Repent of your attitude, lady." That's not what this verse is teaching. It's just that you're a truth speaker. And if you disseminate falsehood, not only are you a liar, and you are, but you are actually hurting the body of Christ. So what are you renewing your mind with? Ecclesiology, or you're renewing it with the truth that you are a member of this brother or sister, and if you lie to them, you're going to hurt the body of Christ and hurt your maturity. Another example, verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin." Okay, we've said the put off there is to put off sinful anger. What is the put on? To put on righteous anger. This is the one place in the New Testament we see anger being spoken of in a positive way. So put on righteous anger, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Verse 27, "Give no opportunity to the devil." What? Some of you who don't talk a lot about spiritual warfare have to see that this verse is directly in the context of unaddressed anger that turns into resentment and bitterness, maybe even violence and rage. Verse 27, "Give no opportunity to the devil." What do you need to renew your mind with if you have unchecked anger in your life? That you are giving an opportunity for Satan to work in your life. Seriously. Renew your mind with, why do I need to be righteously angry? Well, I'm renewing it with the fact that Satan can use my unrighteous anger to get a foothold, to crack the door, to be able to provide an opportunity of temptation. So what is the point here? Renew your mind with verse 27. Put off unrighteous anger, put on righteous anger, and renew your mind with verse 27. All right, last one, and then hopefully you're getting the gist here. All right, I mentioned the put off in verse 28. "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor." So what does a thief need to do? Well, they need to stop stealing, yes. But remember, just because you've stopped stealing doesn't mean you've changed. You're actually to put on honest work, verse 28, with their own hands. So if you're a thief and you've been busted in your thievery, stop stealing, put off, start working hard. But what are you renewing your mind with? "So that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Why are you working hard? You're renewing your mind with the fact that you are now working hard so that you would contribute to the needs of others, not create needs of others. You're contributing, you're sharing, you're generous. God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9. So this mentality of working hard is not just so you could be covetous and greedy, but you're renewing your mind with, I work hard so I have something to share with others. I can provide for myself and love on others and be generous in that way. So what are you renewing your mind with? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Listener, as you're considering this in your own sanctification, I would encourage you to identify that scriptural or that biblical truth that you need to renew your mind with while you are doing the put off and put on. What is it that you need to renew your mind with? That's step one for you facilitating renewal. Identify verses you need to memorize. Identify attributes of God. Maybe you're struggling with purity and you need to really reflect on the holiness of God. You're struggling with anxiety and you need to reflect on the sovereignty of God. Seriously, write those verses down. Put them in a sticky note so that you see it regularly. If you have to, put it on your phone or send yourself a reminder to review those verses. But identify those verses with specificity, and that will help facilitate in the renewal of your mind. So at this point, you should have identified what is the put off. And then you've identified the action to put on. And remember, in the words of Dr. Ernie Baker, generally the put on is the opposite of the put off, generally speaking. So at that point, what's this final step? You're identifying verses to help you renew your mind. If you can't find those on your own, there are actually resources like Armin Tiff's resource that you can find on Transformed. This idea of what is the put off, what is the put on, and what is the renewal or the verses that I need to renew my mind with in that process. So I'm going to finish this segment by just working through a couple of examples. And I want these to be generic enough to where they can kind of fit where you're at, but also loose enough and also specific enough so that they could provide practical help if this is in fact you. All right, think in general of anxiety. Anxiety. According to Matthew 6, anxiety is something Jesus tells you to not be. Don't be anxious. It's a matter of faith. So if you're using anxiety in the biblical sense, then it is something to repent of, Philippians 4:7. Don't be anxious. But when you tell me to not be anxious, it's not like I all of a sudden go, oh, wow, thank you. What a revelation. I never considered to stop being anxious. Whoa, that was helpful. So put off anxiety, and what are you called to put on? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Anxiety robs you of your joy, but it clouds your view of the bigness of God. So put off anxiety, and what is the step of putting on? I'm putting on an active decision to trust in God. Use the Jerry Bridges choosing to trust. That this is a vigorous act of my soul, whereby I choose to cling to the promises of God despite the adversities that at times seek to overwhelm me. I'm choosing to trust God. And what am I renewing my mind with? Passages like Psalm 131. Psalm 131 is probably my favorite passage to help address anxiety. David says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Renew your mind with passages like these. So you put off anxiety, you put on a volitional decision to trust the Lord, and you renew your mind with passages like Psalm 131. Are you getting it? Are you seeing it? One more example. Ooh, I hate to do this one. I had to do a self-counsel project in my undergraduate when I was attending Bible college, and I actually chose grumbling and complaining because I was doing a lot of that. So what are you put off? Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Ooh, Daisy. You know, the children of Israel were actually judged because of grumbling. Jerry Bridges calls it a respectable sin. Put off grumbling and put on gratitude, thankfulness. So if I'm a person who's negative about everything in the world, what am I called to do? Repent of that and put that off and put on thankfulness and gratitude while renewing my mind with scriptures like this, Philippians 2:14 or 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Whatever that looks like, you are putting on thankfulness and renewing your mind with the truth of Scripture. So listener, if you want to change, you have to in some way follow this process. And there's no magical steps. God, through His Spirit, uses these steps to facilitate renewal in your life. So if you're missing one of these steps, it really is truncating and hurting you from growing in the way that God would intend. So let me pray for you. We got to be done, but let me pray that God would do that work in your life. Lord, I do come to you and thank you for the clarity of your word. Help us all to be people that are committed to you, and we want to grow to be like your son, Jesus. May these practical steps literally guide our everyday so that you would be honored and we would be more like Jesus in our everyday. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.